Divrei Hayamim Aleph, Perek Dalet, Pasek Chaf, Uvnei Shimon. So last week, on Monday, we learned about the children, we learned about Merit. Merit had two wives, the Jewish wife and the non-Jewish wife, and we discussed who was Merit. Merit was Kalev, he married Bissia, and all of the names referred to Moshe Rabbeinu. We went through a collection of Midrashim to explain those previous Pesukim. Now we go further. We have just one more person in this family line, Uvnei Shimon. Again, we do not know. Seemingly, Shimon is a standalone man. He's not listed as part of the list we had before. And now Rashi and the Mitzudos are silent. They're not repeating themselves like me to tell you that this person's name, we do not know where he comes from on the family tree, part of his genealogy. All we know is that his name is Shimon. The children of Shimon were who? Amnon, Verina, Ben Chanon. We have this Silon. So we have the children of Shimon was Amnon, Verina, Ben Chanon. Now it's a very strange thing to call him the son of Shimon is called Ben Chanon. I mean, his name should be Ben Shimon. So why is he called Ben Chanon? It's not clear. Either it means what?
Because that's his name.
So it's a very weird thing to call a person Ben Chanon when we know his father. You don't really call a person Ben Shimon. Why is he called Ben Chanon? I don't know. He called whatever. For whatever reason, he was called Ben Chanon. Or he could possibly mean that the son of Rina was Chanon. The way these words, the way these names are put together, it's not the language and the form, the structure of the sentence is not what we're accustomed to. In fact, I saw recently one of the Mefarshim that Ezra, who put together the Yichus of Divrei Hayamim, he had in front of him books, Sefarim, and he just plucked out of the books the names that he felt were important. So he took and he put them all together, and it didn't make any sense. So he has a list. Oh, this person is important. His name is Ben Chanon. Let's add it. This one's important, add it. This one's important, let's add it to the list. You put it together, you make a pasuk, and the pasuk doesn't make any sense. Doesn't matter. Because that was the certain style that was accepted at the time. And that's a very extreme approach to explain some of the difficulties in the structure of the Pesukim. But here we have definitely a very big problem. Bnei Shimon, who are his children? Amnon, Verina, and Ben Chanon. Either it can mean he is a son of Shimon, or Ben Chanon is a son of Verina. Another person, Vissilon, period. Now we have another person, Uvnei Yishi. We do not know who he is either. He is Zoches, and Uven Zoches. Zoches and the son of Zoches. Who these people are, we do not know, and the commentaries are very limited. There's not much Mefarshim on Pasuk Chaf. Okay, look, Pasuk Chaf. Ben Chanon Kain Shemo. Ben Zoches, that was their name. The name Ben does not mean their son. That was the name. Shimon had a son whose name on his birth certificate was Ben Chanon. Ben Chanon, the son of Shimon, and there's a person called Ben Zoches, the son of Yishi. That's all we have here in the Mitzudos, and there is no Rashi. Now we come to a new section. We come to Bnei Shela. That Bnei Shela ben Yehuda, if we're paying attention, that until now, we've only been focusing on our chart. You don't need the chart now. But we've been focusing only on Peretz and Zerach. Yehuda had... Let's review what happened in Parashas. It's important. What in Parashas Vayeshev. Okay, let me take out a Chumash. Chumash Bereshis. Parashas Vayeshev. Good morning. Okay. Yishlach Miketz Vayechi. I can't find Vayeshev. Here is Vayeshev. Okay, it's Perek Lamed Ches Pasuk Hey. Okay, let me read you what happened. We have a story. We have a very sad story in the Torah. Perek Lamed Ches. We have here... Here we go. Okay, Vayhi Boy Sahi. Vayered Yehuda me'eis Echav. Yehuda, he left his brothers. Why? Because This was the aftermath, the fallout of Mechiras Yosef. The plan did not go according to what they wanted. Things did not turn out the way they planned. They sold Yosef. They thought their father would accept the bad news that his beloved son Yosef has been killed. Toref teraf Yosef. What's the pasuk? Yosef has been ripped apart by the wolf. They brought the ksenis pasim, the dipped in blood. We read yesterday arze halavanon, the asaro gemalchus. Chazal tell us that was the paitanim tell us that just to go off on a tangent, the asaro gemalchus in the piyut on Yom Kippur. It's very clear that this was a punishment for Mechiras Yosef. There was a Risha, and his name was Rabbeinu Yachya. Is that his name? Yachya. He says that it's a fabrication. That the Paitonim, they invented this concept that the Asara Haruge Malchus were killed as an atonement for Mechiras Yosef. Impossible. There's no way in the world 10 people who are living thousands of years after the chait of Mechiras Yosef should suffer for the sin of Mechiras Yosef. The Paitanim invented this thing in order to inspire people to do tshuva, but it's not really true. It's a radical statement, because most of Klal Yisrael don't accept that. We are pretty much, and I like to use the word, but we're brainwashed to believe that the reason why the 10 martyrs died is as atonement for Mechiras Yosef, as it says explicitly in the Kina on Yom Kippur. But what is interesting is that the Kina of Tisha B'Av, there is no mention of this whatsoever, and there's a lot of discussion why not? Why is that left out? There's a very good Sefer called, obviously, Asara Haruge Malchus. The Mechaber of the Sefer collected, I think, over 40 piyutim that deal with the Asara Haruge Malchus, which only two of them have really entered our liturgy on Yom Kippur and on Tisha B'Av. And they're very different, and they have different focus. The author are different people. Okay, they're Midrashim. But the point I want to make over here is we have over here the Mechiras Yosef, a terrible event. And they thought that their father Yaakov Avinu would recover very quickly from this tragic news that Yosef has died. And it didn't happen. Their father refused to find comfort. And then the brothers began pointing fingers. And who got the brunt of the fallout? Yehuda, because Yehuda was the leader. Yehuda was the leader, and he, in hindsight, should have been the one that should have prevented them from doing so. And now their father is in great agony, great tsar, and they blame him. So what does he do? We don't know. There's a lot more going on behind the story. It's really hard for us to understand what happened over here. But he left. He left his brothers. He left his brothers. He linked up with this man called Chir. He was a non-Jew. He's not a Jewish person. That's also very shocking that he is leaving the fold. I mean, you can't say this, but in today's times, you would say he went off the derech. I mean, Chas Hashem would say that. Yehuda, the shift they call. But he's leaving the family. I mean, that's really, obviously, he's observant, but he's completely going away from the family, and it's fallout from what has happened. Vayar Shom Yehuda Bas Ish Kenani. Okay, Kenani, Rashi says, a merchant. Okay, a merchant. But not everyone follows the approach of Rashi. Some learn that Kenani means a woman from the nation of Canaan, which, now, Rashi obviously steered away from this interpretation because this is shocking. Canaan is cursed. Canaan is not part of Klal Yisrael. It's like intermarriage, so to speak. Obviously, the Shiftei Ko, we're not dealing over here in modern times, 21st century, it's a different world. Everything they did was with the Kedushah, with the Harad. I don't mean anything to say anything, Chas V'Shalom Be'et, Chas V'Shalom, to be understood on their level, but it is shocking. The Medrash does note, according to one interpretation, that he went and he married a non-Jewish woman. And if you want to select a non-Jewish woman, there are many non-Jewish women nations. Canaan is not exactly where you would go to marry a non-Jewish woman, but he did. Ushmo Ashua, Vayar Sham Bas Ish Kenani Ushmo Shua. The name of his father-in-law was Shua. He took this woman, Vayikochecha Vayavo Elecha. problem. Okay, so he's marrying here a non-Jewish woman according to this interpretation. Canaan. Canaan is the antithesis of Klal Yisrael because Orur Canaan, Eved Avodim, they are called an Eved Avodim. They are completely the extreme opposite of the greatness of the nation of shame. From shame comes Klal Yisrael. And he has three children. Vatar, Vatel, Ben, Vayikra, Shmo, Er. The first one is called Er. Vatar, Od, Vatel, Ben, Vatikra, Shmo, Onan. Now here, now I'm telling you, this is what I saw from Rabbi Eisenstein. Rabbi Eisenstein in the back of the art scroll, Divrei Hayamim. As I mentioned, it's an incredible piece of work. The art scroll, Divrei Hayamim, the first part is a very, very detailed parish on Divrei Hayamim. And then in the back, he has very, very deep insights. Drush, machshava, not the style of what you're accustomed to seeing in art school. And they write in the Hagdama, they explain that the Divrei Hayamim is not even a project they even thought was possible to do within the art school approach to laying out, giving a parish from Sukkim, because Divrei Hayamim is lo'nitin ella lidaresh. So they broke up the parish into two sections, a simple running commentary plus a very, very fascinating in-depth analysis with very deep thoughts of machshava to explain the psukim. And there Rabbi Eisenstein says an incredible insight, Vatosefot vatele bein vatikra eshmo shela. When Yehuda had his third son, the Torah says that it wasn't that simply vatahar vateled, but it's vatosef. It's a bonus. It's an addition. This third child is different. It's different. Now, I don't know, I didn't get a chance to go into, I was trying this morning, but I didn't get too far to go into depth in the Perushim and the Rishonim on the Pasuk here, why it was called Vatosef. When Vatikra Eshmo Shela, she called, notice, not him, this one, of the Vatikra, she called the name Shela. Why did she call the name Shela? Rashi says, because he was not around. He left her, or whatever that means. He was not available. He was on business, and she gave birth all alone. Therefore, she named her son by the name of Shela, and he was not available. He was in Kziv, name of place, when she gave birth to him. Okay. So, what happened? We know the story. Vayikach Yehuda Isha Le'er B'choro Ushmo Tamar. He went and he took this woman called Tamar. We do not know much about Tamar. We do not know who she is. Okay. I'm sure there must be some question where she came from, her yichus, but Tamar does not seem to be a woman that came from Canaan. Tamar seems to be a woman that probably had better yichus. Canaan is the worst. The yichus of Canaan is the worst possible yichus. Yehuda married a woman, Bashua, from Canaan. That means his daughters, his two sons, had very problematic yichus. And if he is going to come back and be part of Klal Yisrael, and be the leader of Klal Yisrael, and his children are, their mother of his children come from Canaan, that's going to be a very big problem when he will one day have reconciliation with his brothers and rejoin the family. This is, he has set himself up for a major disaster. And according to Rabbi Eisenstein, based upon Midrashim, he was depressed. You can't say that word. We don't mean depressed like being depressed today in the 21st century. But he was miyayish, so to speak, from what's going to be the future for Klal Yisrael, because he realized Klal Yisrael is now off track with the failure of their actions by selling Yosef. Yaakov Avinu is in a great state of tsar, and there are major problems, and things have gone off track, and therefore there's no hope, so he might as well leave. He leaves his brothers, he marries a woman from Canaan, and has two children, and he appears to be out of the picture. Then what happens? He needs to take a daughter-in-law for his son, so he comes across this excellent shidduch for his son, Tamar, I'm not sure we know all of her yichus. Maybe we do, but she does not appear to be from the yichus from Canaan. Could very well be that she came from Shem. She was a descendant somehow, that she was part of a descendant of Shem, which is a cousin of Klal Yisrael, which is what Klal Yisrael needs in order to build up Klal Yisrael. And he marries her off to his son, Er, and we know what happens. Er dies. Er does not want her to become pregnant because of her beauty, exquisite beauty. He tells a second son to marry her. And he also dies. Okay, what's going to be now? He's not giving his son to Shelah, the daughter-in-law to Shelah. He's going to wait. Eventually, who ends up marrying Shelah? Yehuda himself. And from that comes Peretz and Zerach. Now, Tamar had good yichus, and Yehuda had the best yichus. And from Yehuda and Tamar actually came Peretz and Zerach, which have excellent yichus. They have good yichus from their father and good yichus from their mother. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though Yehuda was miyayish, he gave up hope, right? Yehuda was miyayish. I sold my brother Yosef. My father is sad. Klal Yisrael is in a lot of trouble. I give up. I'm going away. And he gave up. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it come about that his own children would return to Klal Yisrael with the best possible yichus. How is that possible? Because he took for his, he had three non-Jewish children, so to speak. If we learn according to this medrash to be correct, that Canaan means the nation of Canaan, three non-Jewish children, and the third, and he took a Jewish, so to speak, daughter-in-law. And the end was, he himself married that daughter-in-law and gave forth Peretz and Zerach, which we spent the last week learning about their yichus. Everything that we learned here in Perek Dalet is the yichus of Yehuda, specifically the yichus that comes from Peretz and Zerach, which leads to Malchus based off it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu has his ways. You can plan all you want, you can give up hope, you can go into a deep state of depression and go to the top of the Verrazano and plan to do what you're going to do, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do what he wants to do. And if he wants from your situation of depression to bring about Melech HaMashiach, it'll happen. It's exactly what happened here. He gave up. He married Bas Ashur, Bas Kanani, yeah. Oh, that's what we're coming to right now. Okay, that's what we're coming to right now. So that is this Psukim Divayamim completely opens up your mind, and the Midrashim here, and this of Eisenstein is brilliant. What he comes and does here, how he opens up the whole new world of learning Chumash and insight into the history of Klal Yisrael. He's going to show us now. But this alone is a fascinating thing of what happened to Yehuda. He came back against without him knowing, and he now brought back Melech HaMashiach despite his decision to leave the fold. Incredible, right? He left the fold. Kaviyachol, in our terms today, you would say, again, to Lachol Shofar saying this in the wrong audience, he went off the derech. It's over. Finished. I'm marrying a shiksa. Has three children. And yet, from Yehuda comes Melech HaMashiach. Why? Because he takes for the first child that he had from the shiksa, he takes a Jewish girl. Also is intermarriage, right? It's also not a good idea to take a Jewish girl for his non-Jewish son. And then, look at that. A whole story happens. One dies, the second one dies. I don't want my third one to die. He sends her away. She tricks him. And he fathers two children with her. And he has Peretz and Zerach. And from that comes Melech HaMashiach. Okay. But what happened? What's the end of the story? Exactly. What's the end of the story? There was a person, Shelah, after he gave birth to Peretz and Zerach. It says lo Yosef od ledata, right? He you're pregnant. Sadka that Thomas said that you are pregnant. I am pregnant from you, and after he said Sadka mimeni, after he acknowledged that indeed she is pregnant from him. V'lo yoda oy ledata. Pasuk says he no longer knew, had anything to do with Tama. Now, does that mean Tama then, he now gave Tama to Shayla? I do not know. This is not clear in the Mefarshim. Would he even be allowed to give Tama? Once he married her, would he be allowed even to give her the Yibam before Matan Torah? How does all of this work? Maybe yeah, maybe not. What?
You just seem to think that he didn't, and that's because that's what we get about Isha Kadlanis.
What? Isha Kadlanis? But before Matan Torah, yeah.
Shayla, I mean, that's the drush.
Before, but right, it wasn't really Alpi Halacha, it's only Isha Kadlanis when there's no reason. There was a clear reason, they were wicked. They were wicked. Right. It's a makar, it's a remez. You see a concept. Right, okay, you see such a concept. We do not know what happened to Tamar after she gave birth to these two twins. We do not know. And we do not know what happened to Shayla. The Torah does not tell us anything more about Shayla. But it would seem that when this happened, Yehuda entered into a whole new world. A whole new frame of mind. He realized the Yad Hashem. He has now two children, Peretz and Zerach. They're going to bring forth Mashiach. And he has here a third son. The third son is still problematic because the third son still is a child of Bas Shua. And Bas Shua is an Ish Kenani, either a merchant, according to Rashi, or according to the Medrash, a member of the nation of Kenan who is cursed and is not part of Klal Yisrael. But yet, here we come to these very fascinating psukim, and it says, B'nei Shela ben Yehuda. Incredible psukim. Here in Divrei Hayamim, Ezra HaSefer made sure to let us know that Shela, who was a non-Jew, the Bas Kenani, he converted. He was Megayer, to some degree, whatever that means. And he must have married a Jewish woman. And he fathered a whole list of people which were extremely prominent in Klal Yisrael, otherwise they would not have been mentioned here in Divrei Hayam. This is a very select group. Anyone that gets mentioned here became something. They made an impact. They made their mark on Klal Yisrael, and they are with us at Hayam Hazeh. And here he is mentioned, B'nei Shela. It's incredible, because in the Chumash, we don't know what happened. Er Onan Shela, Er Onan die. Tamar marries Yehuda, v'lo Yosef oledata, goodbye, story is over, see you later. Finished. Here, Divrei Hayamim, now we learn about Shela. Now, here comes Rav Eisenstein, based upon Mefarshim. From Shela came many great people. Now, we're going to learn a whole long list. Okay, let me just give you some background to what we're going to do now. It's only a few psukim. We're going to learn a whole long list. Okay, you can learn the psukim according at face value on a very simple level. It's just a bunch of names, a bunch of important people. Maybe you can dig up some old books in some museum and figure out who they were, and they were leaders of different communities. We're going to have all these names. We have a person, Avi Lechna. Er is interesting. Er, he probably called him after his brother. Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing. Yibam. It's an amazing thing. He did it. He called him Er, Avi, and he became Avi. He became the governor of the city called Lecha, the founder of Lecha. You go to see Lecha, there'll be a big gate. This is the city of Lecha that was founded by Er. A very Velada, yeah, a person of Lada, Avi Moresha. Umishbechos base Avodas HaButz. And it was a distinguished family called the Butz family. Right? Everyone has all different types of names. The Butz. What's so terrible? Look in the phone book. You may find the name Butz. Leveis to the family of Ashbea, and this Butz was also known to the base Ashbea. And it goes on, we'll read the passage in a few minutes. But what we're going to see in the Medrash in a few moments is all of these names, as the Derech of Divrei Hayamim, allude to very great people. Like Butz is going to be Rochav Hazona. We're going to learn about Rus Hamoaviah. The common denominator of all the different personalities that we're going to read into these words are all Geirin, converts. Rochav Hazona was not part of Klal Yisrael. She was part of Kenan, in fact. And then she converted. And she married Yehoshua, none other than the Gadol Hadar. How do we understand that? It's not for us to understand in this generation. And then we have Rus. Rus Hamoravia becomes the mother of Melech HaMashiach. How do we understand that? Machlin V'Kilion. How do we understand all of this? But the common denominator that we're going to see in the Midrash in a few moments, time permitting, is a collection of personalities who are Gerim. Who is the Av, the father of all Gerim? Avram Avinu, he is the father of all Gerim. We're all Gerim. Matan Torah, Klal Yisrael, we learn all the laws of Gerim from Matan Torah. Well, Klal Yisrael are Gerim. And we know they have to mess our Gerim. There's a famous story with Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach, Sechet Tzadik Levracha, a boy, a regular boy from a regular Haredi family. Somehow he went out, a shidduch, and he really liked the girl. And then they told him, tricked you, she's a Giyaris. So he really liked her a lot. And like for his, from his family, you know, it didn't, you know, in the Haredi families in Yerushalayim, it's not something that a regular family, you know, okay, it's nothing wrong with the Giyaris, Chas Shalom. So he went to Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach and he told him, you know, he went out with this girl and he really, really likes her. What should he do? So he told him, marry her. He says, you'll be, not only is it nothing wrong, it's a good, you like her, it's a good shidduch, not only is it, but you will have the unique opportunity to be mekayim the mitzvah, v'ahavtem es hager, every single moment of your life. Not everyone has that opportunity. If you marry a geyaris, you have that opportunity. So, nothing wrong. But well, what's going on here in these psukim? We're taking these personalities who are all gerim, and we're attaching them al derech drush, l'fid derech of divrei hayamim. We're attaching them to bnei shela. Why is dafka bnei shela? Because shela was also to some degree the ultimate convert. Because Yehuda, a shift eka, he leaves the fold. He leaves his brothers. He marries Bashua, Ishkenani, has non-Jewish children, who are the heir, Onan, and Shela. Shela is a non-Jew, if you learn that Kenani means an Ishkenani, for a non-Jewish mother. And then what happens? Heir and Onan die. Whole story of Peretz and Zerach. And now he's left hanging. Shayla's left hanging. And Yehuda obviously has a reawakening. Right? He's taken back into Klal Yisrael. Everything comes back. He must have dragged back with him Shayla, taking back Shayla. And Shayla obviously converts. He's Megayer. And being that he's associated with Yehuda, the Geirus is not just a little Geirus. This is a real heavy-duty Geirus. And from that it becomes great things in Klal Yisrael. That opens up in Shemayim. That opens up a spiritual power where all of these new Geirim join Klal Yisrael. Among them are Rus, Machlan V'Chilyon, and Machlan V'Chilyon, we'll get to that later on. I mean, Rus, and Roch of Hazona, and other gay, which we'll learn in these names, that entered into Klal Yisrael. And here Ezra is attaching them to Shelah, because Shelah is another major figure in the Parsha of Geirus. Avraham Avinu is the Avi HaGeirim. Klal Yisrael and the whole Matan Torah are all Geirim. But Shela in the sugya of Gerim is also a major player. And that's why we append all of these Gerim to Shela. And this he explains, this beautiful diuk of Eisenstein, is that's why it says by Shela Vatosef. In addition, when it comes to Erva Onan, it says Vatahar Vatelet. She got pregnant and she gave birth. Okay, another person came into the world. She was a Bas Kenani. No, a Bas Kenani. 7 billion people. Another person came into the world. Okay, it's a miracle, but another person came into the world. But Shela, who would ultimately be one of the major players in Geirus and Klal Yisrael, it's Vatosef. It's an addition. Geirus, a new koyach of adding, of becoming part of Klal Yisrael, in addition to Klal Yisrael, something that came to Klal Yisrael from the outside, not something that's internal, but in an external addition that joined Klal Yisrael, was now introduced with the birth of Shelah. Okay, let me do, make sure I'm saying those words of Vatar. Oh, first you have Vatar, Vatel Bain. Just Vatar. Vayikra Shmo Er. Vatahar Od. Vatel Bain. Vatikra Shmo Onan. Vatosef. Od. Ah. Come to Shela. He's going to be a different person. He's not going to die. He's not a Russia like Erva Onan that's Pshiche Zara Artsa and so on and so forth. He's going to end up being part of Klal Yisrael, even though his mother is a Kanani. Cursed Kanani, Vatosefot, Vatele Bain, Vatikra Shmo Shela. Okay, so that's a very important dig, how we go on the appreciation of what we're going to see now in these few psukim. So we have over here first.
Ben Kanani?
What?
You also have to Ben Kanani.
He married Yehuda took a wife, Vayar Shom Yehuda Bas, the daughter, doesn't say who she was, her name, Bas Ish Kanani. He married Yehuda. Married the daughter of a Kenani. Rashi says Kenani, we said before, simply means a merchant. A merchant, a Jewish merchant, his father-in-law was a nice Jewish businessman, according to Rashi. He takes the word Kenani, does not mean the nation of Kenan. However, the Medrash, after looking at the Medrash and the Mefarshim, what was the Targum say here very quickly? Bas Gat Haga. Also, the Targum also says that it means a merchant. Rav Eisenstein, in his parish, on Divrei Hayamim, he quotes Midrashim that the word Kenani, I don't have in front of me because I'm sure one of them before we say, Kenani means literally a Kenani. He married the daughter of a Kenani. Kenani were non-Jewish.
No,
this was his only wife at this point in time. At this point in time, this was his only wife. Could be had other wives. We have Yehuda could be had many wives. We have a whole all the yichus. I'm not clear in all the details of his yichus. We learned all about Peret Zerach recently, and his father-in-law's name was Shua, and he had three children. Okay, now let's just see some of the midrashim, some of the perushim, what this means over here according to the pshat, according to the drash. So pasuk. So we learned over here pasuk. Pasuk Chaf Aleph Bnei Shelah Ben Yehuda Er Avi Lecha. Okay, that was the first child. He obviously named it after Er. By the way, there's no Onan. Interesting. He named the child after Er. He did not seem to name a child after Onan. Maybe there was. It's just he was not prominent enough that it was listed by Ezra. So Er Avi Lecha Velada Avi Mar Resha Umishpchos Bebeis Avodas Habutz Lebeis Ashpeh. And the family of Avodas Habutz, which was connected, which was associated with the Beis Hashveh. Let's see if we're Chafaf in the Mitzudos. Umishbechos, HaMishbechos, Shehoyu Oivdim Avodas HaPishban. Why are they called Butz? Because Butz means linen, flax. From flax you produce linen. They had a monopoly on the linen industry. That's why they were called Butz. HaMiyuchasim Lebeis, and the Miyuchasim, they traced their lineage to this family called Lebeis Ashbea. Rashi, Bnei Shelah ben Yehuda Lefisha Adayin Lo Yichasu Yichasu. So Rashi says that we have not yet discussed the Yichus of Shelah. In the last beginning of the parak, we discussed in detail the Yichus of Peretz and Zerach. Now we have to tie up the loose ends. Lefisha Adayin Lo Yichasu Miyachasu Ata Shemishum Shemishum Kavoidu Shal David Makdim Liyaches Bnei Tamar. Because of the honor of David, that's the theme which reappears here 100 times. Everything about Divrei Hayamim is David. Like one word, catch all, the whole Sefer Divrei Hayamim, David. That's all you have to say. Get an exam on Divrei Hayamim, just say the word David, you get already 90% of the questions you get right. Everything is all for the purpose of David. Bnei Tamar Peretz Zerach Shemehem Yotzu Gam Hu, because David came from Peretz Zerach. But V'yachshav, but we got to tie up the loose ends. We got to fill up the safe, fill up the pages a little bit with something else besides the Yichus of David. V'yachshav Sheyiches Kol Mishpachos Peretz Maschil Yiches Kol Mishpachos Shela Shehoyu Be'osa Hador, which also exists in that same generation as Peretz Zerach. So we have here these people, the Mishpachos Beis Avodas Habutz. Now Rashi here says something very different than we're going to see in the Midrashim, that this family ultimately, as they grew, when they went down to Mitzrayim, were dealing with a number of generations later, hundreds of years later, they became the experts in preparing the linen for the Mishkan. The Mishkan, there was Shesh V'Argamon. Shesh is linen. Linen is white, and it's woven with Shesh six threads. So there's a lot of precision, a lot of skill that's needed to prepare linen. A very interesting, fascinating thing. Who are the ones that prepared the linen, the sheish? It was all of the descendants of Shela, the ger. Shela, the son of Abbas Kenani. And his grandfather was Shua. They were all from Bnei Shel. Okay, now let me read you some Medrash. Okay, so the first Medrash is Avilech of Lado Avi Amoreisha. Who are these people? So this is a Medrash from Rus. Rus, there it says Avilecha Av Bezdin Shalecha. Okay, Vlad Avi Moreisha Av Bezdin Shel Moreisha. So this is not really, it's like a hybrid between what I'm trying to get with Gerim. They were very great Talmidei Chachamim. Forget about the fact that we're going to allude to the Gerim that joined, but Avi, according to the Medrash, is a term that refers to Chochma. Avi means you are the Rosh of the Sanhedrin. So Shela's children, Shela, the son of the Bas Kenani, his descendants were outstanding Talmidei Chachamim and headed the Bezdin. Okay. And there were two Batidinim. One was called Lecha, and one was called Bezdin, called Moresha. They ruled. Now, let's now go to another Sifrei. The Sifrei says, what is the middle over here? That it was Mishpachos Beis Avodas Habutz LeBeis Ashpeya. So who is this? So it says here, this is Rachav Hazona. Why is it Rachav Hazona? Because Shehitmino es Hamaraglim Bivutz, she hid the Maraglim in stalks of linen, a pishn of flax. She hid them when they were being chased after at night. That's why it's called the family that's referring to Rachav LeBeis Ashpeya. Why is it called the base Ashpeya? That comes from the word Shavua, an oath. Shenishbu lo hamaraglim, they swore to her that they would not, that they would come back and save her when they destroy the city of Yericho. So that's an incredible medrash, which takes this pasuk Bnei Shela, and we call her. Umishbechos, at least the last two families, doesn't tell us about the Avilecha and Avimoresha. Now we have the other Medrash. They were the Rosh Sanhedrin. But the end of the pasuk, Butz Ashpeya, descendants, the family that came from Rachav Hazona that hid the Meraglim in Butz, and to whom the Meraglim swore they would not harm. So let's go to one another pasuk. Pasuk Chav Beis, another collection of people. The Yoikim, the Anshe Chozev. We have now this person Yoikim. Okay, he's the name of a man, and we have the Anshe Chozev people, a whole family, and the Yoash, and this person called Saraf. What did Yoash and Saraf do? Asher Boalu Lemoav. They waged war. There are many interpretations what this means. We'll see in the Mesudas Rashi in a moment. Boalu means they became an owner, a master. No one takes for themselves a master willingly. A master in ancient times was forced upon you through war. So this really means that they went to war against the nation of Moab. And we have another person called V'yoshuvi Lochem. That was his name. The Hadvarim, and now Ezra, who is writing these psukim, says, listen to me. What I'm telling you is Atikim. It's ancient words. In other words, we'll see different perushim what this means. One interpretation is, when you read this, you're going to say, like, you know, today, if you ever say a Dvar Torah in a Haredi gathering, and you say a Chiddush, the first thing they're going to say to you is, where does it say this? You ever have that experience? You're talking to a more modern crowd. You can say anything you want. No one's going to challenge you, guarantee. You go to these, like, real yeshivish guys, you know, with the, like, the black hats and the payas. Wow, what did you say? Where does it say that? What's your source? That's just the nature. That's the nature of the world. Okay, so here you hear, here obviously he felt, according to one interpretation, Ezra felt that he would become under attack. He's presenting a lot of strange things here in this perek, and he knows that people are going to read this. They're going to say, Ezra, what are you talking about? Where did this, were you making things up? I never heard of these names. I never heard of these people. They went Boalu Esmoav. So Ezra says, calm down. I'm telling you, it's old news. Dvarim Atikin, look in the museum. Go to the museum and you will find it there. I'm not pulling your leg. It's there. Yeah.
A way of saying there aren't any sources.
Right. There are sources. What the source is, just trust me.
Go look.
Go look. I'm not going to tell you to go look. That's according to at least one interpretation. Let the others, let's see Rat Mitsudos and Rashi right now. Pasuk of Bez in the Mitsudos. Asher Baal Moav. These families, Yokim, Anshe Chazeva, Yoyash, Vesodof, what do? They were violent people. I'm saying violent. But Asher Baal, Asher Nilchamu in Moav. They fought with them. There's a nation called Moav, which was always a source of trouble for Klal Yisrael. I read in the Kinos, at the time of Chumash Sheni, Amon and Moav, they were very eager to join the Romans. They were not, they made an alliance. In World War. What? Right. And when they came, what did they also, what did they want? They wanted the Sefer Torah, Lo Yovi Amoini Umayovi Pekahal Hashem, and the Kuvim. They were very happy to join that. No person will come for free. Like, you know, like just for fun. When you need some help, we'll join you, even though we have nothing to gain. They just, out of hatred for Klal Yisrael, they joined the Romans, and they also must have joined the Vuchanetzer, because the Kuvim, that's difficult, because the Kuvim was only talking about the Bayis Rishon. There was no Aron or Kuvim in the Bayis Sheni, but the Kamin, there were other types of Kuvim, not necessarily from the Aron. There were pictures of Kuvim in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, different statues that had Kuvim, but here we have, they were always a source of trouble. So here, these families, they gave it to them. They waged war on them and put them in their place. The next we have the Yoshuvi Lochem. Who is that? Cain Shane Ish. What a name. Okay, that's a hard name to have. And my name is Yoshuvi Lochem. Two words. You don't really find two words for one name. That's what Mitzvah says. Now, what does this mean? Even though I've told you about this thing of war, what are you talking about? I have a history book. I have all the books at home. It doesn't say there were ever wars. There were wars between these families and Anshei Moav. So Ezra says, listen, calm down. Hine al tismu al ze ki hadvarim ha'ela hema miyushanim. This is old news. It's ancient stuff. The avar zman rav v'nishkach min habriyos. It's been lost from history. Unbelievable. And therefore, trust me. Trust me when I tell you about this war that took place between these families and the Anshei and Moav. It's a fascinating translation of the words and how the Mitzvah of the Rashi is a little bit different to Rashi, Pasuk HaBeis in Rashi. V'yotem v'yanshei koziva ad v'yoshuvi lochem kol eile b'nei, until the person called Yoshuvi Lochem, we have a list of people kol eile b'nei shela ben Yehuda. Now we have v'yoyosh v'sorof. Who are these two people? So Rashi, right away, gets into Medrash. Rashi says, Rabbi Seinu Oimim, ze machloin v'chilyoin. This refers to machloin v'chilyoin. They were Rus's sons. They were that was Naomi's sons. Naomi's two sons, and they married Nashim Moavios. They married Rus and Ophrah. So this Machloin v'Chilyoin. So that's who we're referring to. And now, even though they're not Gerim, okay, they're not Gerim, that doesn't fit perfectly into what I told you before of Shela, but that's not a problem because they are the ones that precipitated. They're the ones who put into process the joining of the ultimate Ger, one of the ultimate Gerim, Rus, HaMoaviah, Machloin, the Chilyoin, left Beis Lechem Yehuda, they went to Moav, and they married these two non-Jewish women, Rus and Ophrah, and from there came what?
Arpa,
and from there came Rus and David Amel. We'll see in a moment why they were called Yoash and Sorof. The Hadvarim Atikim Pisra. Okay, there's a new word you always have here in different yamim, which you don't have. All of a sudden, Pisra. The interpretation is as follows. He repeats that word a million times. You don't have that anywhere on the other side. Al Taimar, don't tell me Lufishati Liachas Mianche Derenu. So here, according to Rashi, he's saying Ezra is on the defense. Until now, until all these psukim, I've really been discussing people in modern times, like 21st century times. I'm telling you about people you know about. All of a sudden I'm telling you about people you never heard of. Ezra is speaking now at the time of the building of the Bayis. This is being written at the time of the building of the Bayis Sheni. Right? The building now of the Bayis Sheni. He's putting together the Sefer, the Yichus. And a lot of the names that we have over here, everyone is very familiar because they're more recent. Now he's going back and talking about names from the way, way the past. Don't worry. But you should be aware that the names that are listed in this pasuk of Gimel, Harishainim Shahayu, these are Harishainim, these are the old people, the old timers. The Zakenim Shahayu Bimei Kad Moinim. So he has a whole new interpretation of Rashi, Advarim Atikim, and not about the war. I'm not referring to the Mulchama that these people waged against Moav. I'm just telling you that the names of the people, you do not know who they are. These are old-timers. Not from this generation, unlike the previous Pesukim. Asher bolu Moav, they went away to Moshlochu, Nashim Moavias. Also, this is very fascinating. Rashi Mishitah, so he takes the word that Machlu V'chilyon. Bolu means marriage. Means the act of marriage. Asher l'shalochu Nashim Moavios. Okay, let's just do some of the midrashim. We'll stop the midrashim. Who do we know over here? These are who these people are. Okay, let me read you. Some of these midrashim. Just the main parts. Who are these people? Yishuvilochem, Yoikim. So here we go. Yoikim ze Yehoshua. Okay, so the first person we mentioned, Pasuk Chaf Beis. According to the Medrash. This is a Medrash. It's not a Medrash. I'm sorry. It's a Gemara. It's a Ferishim of Bava Basra. Bava Basra. Targum says it. Okay. I don't have the Targum in my print. I should really use Targum more from Targum. This is...
These
Sukkim. Okay. So it's probably included in one. I'm sure it's included in what I'm going to say. But maybe we'll do a little more tomorrow. We'll see. But let's just get the basic gist. Yoikim, according to the Gemara in Bava Basra, is Yehoshua. And again, this is setting the stage, as we said before, to bring in Gerim, Rochav Hazoina, Rus Hamoviah. So you got to start from the grassroots. What are the grassroots? Yoikim say Yeshua Sheikim Shvuli Anshe Givoin. Another set of Gerim. I'm going to take it back. Besides Rochav, who did Yeshua bring into Klal Yisrael by mistake? The Givoinim. The Givoinim were from Canaan. And they tricked Yehoshua into letting them live in Eretz Yisrael. What happened? They knew that Klal Yisrael are coming. They're going to wipe out the whole land. So they put on, they disguised themselves in wearing shmatas as if they were traveling from a long, long distance from 2,000 miles away. They come from America and they say to Yehoshua, "We're here from America, the other side of the ocean, the Atlantic, and we've heard about the miracles of Yitzias Mitzrayim. We're here to give you a gift and to make peace with you. Don't come across the ocean and do anything to us." So Yeshua says, don't worry, we're not going there for 3,000 years. In the meantime, peace, we give you peace. And then the next day, Yeshua discovers the bunch of phonies. They're living in their backyard. They're living in Eretz Yisrael. They're in disguise. And they pull out the deed. You promised you're not going to kill us. So Yeshua said, really, we can kill you. Because it was a mistake. But PR. It's the United Nations. There's the internet. There's cable TV. Can't deal with the media. Can't deal with them. They're impossible. They're just, they'll run us over. So, we'll let you go for now. But in the meantime, you're going to be our slaves. You're going to be the Shayadim, the wood choppers, and the water drawers. That's the deal. We won't kill you. We'll take the risk. We'll deal with the media. But you're going to have to be the water drawers. So, but they're Gerim. They, to some degree, they did convert. I mean, there's a whole question how this works, but they did convert. I mean, they went with them to Bavel, they came back. It's not exactly clear to what degree they were part of Klal Yisrael 100%, but they were. They were a Tosefes. It fits into Shela. Shela was an appendage to Klal Yisrael. And that's what we're mentioning. So Yeshua's Yoikin. Yoikin is he established an oath to the Anshei Givlein. Zeh Yeshua Sheikim Shula Anshei Givlein. V'Anshei Koizeva. Koizeva Kozov. Kozov means a lie. The Givinim lie to Klal Yisrael. Eilu Anshei Givlein Shekizbu V'Yeshua. Okay? Then we come to Yoyosh. And Saraf, so who are these? These are Machlan, why are they called by such funny names? Eilu Machlan Michalyim, Lomni Koshman Yoyosh and Saraf. Yoyosh was Yoyoshman. Yeyosh, to give up. There was a famine in Eretz Yisrael, and what did Machlan do? I give up. I'm out of here. I'm not going to stick it out. I'm on the first boat out. I'm going to a place where there's food. I'm going to save my, also he's very wealthy. And everyone came there to collect donations. I'm not going to sit over here every day give away my money to all the people that are poor. I'm going to go save my money, go to Switzerland, Swiss accounts, save all my money. And the end was, everyone else survived, and he didn't survive. He's the one who lost his wealth. So Yoyosh Yishanis Yoshu Min Agula and Saraf. Why is he called Saraf? Why are they called Saraf? Because Shenischaivu Serefa Lamokim. On their level, you can't judge anyone, but on their level, they should not have acted like this. Maybe a regular person could do this, but they were leaders, and it was expected they should do more for Klal Yisrael, and therefore they were chayv misa sreifa. Asher bo'alu l'moav, shenasu noshem mo'avios. They married non-Jewish wives. They married Rus and Arpa. The Yashuvi Lochem. Who is Yashuvi Lochem? That is a code for Rus. Why? Because Rus was a shava in Naomi al Beis Lechem. She returned with Naomi to Beis Lechem. Rus amovia shava v'nidbuka b'Beis Lechem Yehuda v'hadvarim atikim. And what does this mean according to the Medrash? We already had two perushim. We had the very beautiful perush of the Mitzudos. The wars are in the museum. The perush of Rashi, that these are old timers. These are the Zakenim. These are not the modern young, the yuppies of the generation. These are the old timers. And the Medrash has a third perush, means Devarim Halalu Atikyon Maya Amaron. Atikyon means Hashem. Hashem is the Atik Yoimin, the old one. The old one from the days. Hashem has been around from day one. From before day one. Hashem has been around from before creation. He is called the, quote, Atik Yoimin. Hashem.
In Rashi, Mikedem say, Mikadmunu Shalom.
Kadmunu Shalom. Before the world began.
It was separate from the Abraham.
Hashem.
If she lived Abraham,
the Kadmunu Shalom. Atik Yoimayo Shakadosh Baruch Waish Gozar. Hashem decreed. It was a machshava that Hashem put into the mind of Machlon v'Chilion to leave Eretz Yisrael, to marry Noshim Avios, so that Rus should come into Klal Yisrael. Gozar Shakalish Baruch Gozar Sheitzu Nachman Lechliyam Dechutzul Yoret Sheyisu Sham Nashim Kdei Sheyiskalgel Hadavar Visavo Rus Hamoavil Lebeis Lechem Yehuda Vitinasi Leboaz should marry Boaz Vietze Mimena David. So therefore, this was a plan of the Atik Yoimin. Okay, so we have a beautiful pasuk according to the Gemara. It's a Gemara. It's not even a Medrash. Everyone knows the Gemara. Everyone knows Daf Yomi. So the Gemara says, Yoikim is Yehoshua, Achech HaZeva the Givoinim, Yoyash V'Sof Machlim the Chilyoin, Asher Bo Lumoyav, they married Noshim Avias, the Yashuvi Lochem, in order that Rus should come, the Advar Matikim Kodesh Baruch Hu went and put this plan into motion. Okay, we'll stop here. There's more to do. We'll pick up on this more tomorrow.